What up, what up, what up, everybody? This is the Dr. Football Ultimate Patriots Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Dennis Tien, coming to you from my medical office in Dedham, Massachusetts. Joining me as always, the CEO of Hedgebetter himself from the Hedgebetter Studio in Braintree, Justin Fine. We are doing, I don't think it'll be quite 1 hour tonight on the NFL schedule, but we wanted to record because the NFL schedule is out. We have thoughts. We have things we want to share. We're going commercial free as we break down this schedule. It is like a holiday, I think, for an NFL fan when you actually finally have the roadmap in front of you for what the season is going to look like. Justin, your thoughts on this schedule?
Yeah, you know, I got to say, I was looking through the schedule a little earlier today, and I know, you know, we all were talking about how this should be a much easier schedule. And I do think it's definitely comparatively an easier schedule than their 2024 one. But by no means is it a cakewalk. You know, they got a couple of tough games in there, you know, a couple questionable games. But overall, I mean, I'm pretty happy with the schedule. I think it suits them. And I expect them to do better with it this year than they did last year. That's my initial impression.
It's the NFL, right. So there's no such thing as a cakewalk
right. For
any schedule or any team. There's always going to be a few tough games.
Yep.
They have the Buffalo Bills in their division. That's one of the best teams in the NFL,
year
in and year out. They really struggle to beat that team.
Yeah.
They play them twice. You know, they've got a couple other tough games, yes, but this is about as cupcake a schedule as you can get for an NFL team, and it's really the perfect schedule for this franchise at this time, rebuilding, coming off two terrible 4-1 years in a row. This team needs some positive vibe. This franchise needs some momentum, some good things to happen to them. I love this schedule because you look at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And they are going to have the opportunity to start really fast, build up some momentum, build up some good feelings. Those are desperately needed for where this franchise is right now. I see the opportunity, Justin, for them to have a very fast start with this schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. I look at that. I look at the beginning of the schedule and I say to myself, you know, up until like, I mean, realistically, up until all the way through, I think, you know, like week 9 or 10, there's really only one or two games that I'd be like super worried about. I mean, though, at Buffalo, you know, in week 5, it will be a tough one, but you know, Raiders winnable. I actually love the fact that they're at Miami in week 2, because I think not only is that a winnable game, but it's like that can be a huge statement opportunity for them, a place that they've struggled historically. You know, if they could go in there and get the monkey off their back and start 2-0, I mean, and then you catch the Steelers in week 3 before they've had a chance to settle in, who even knows what their quarterback situation is going to be. It's like you have a really good opportunity to build some momentum and again, get that monkey off your back with some of the plagues that have troubled you in the past.
Well, let's take it week by week.
Let's start
right at the beginning and go by one and we can say if, what we think of the game, and is this a win or a loss? I know that's ridiculously premature to do that right now, but it's May and that's what we do in May.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So I love this opening game for the Patriots.
Me
Raiders
too.
At home. Geno Smith beat them in Gillette Stadium last year, by the way. So it's not totally discredit the Raiders' ability to potentially come in and win this game. But I think if you're looking for a nice, soft landing spot for the Mike Vrabel regime, a very winnable game in Gillette, a game where I would say the Patriots have the talent advantage.
Yeah.
When was the last time we were able to say that at any point in the last 4 or 5 years? This is a great place for the Patriots to start a game with the Raiders in Foxborough that they really should win.
They totally should. I mean, look, you know, I know, you know, we talk about Pete Carroll and Geno Smith as being, you know, professionals and veterans, and you know, you can't really count them out. But I mean, you're getting them at a good time, right? You got week 1 at home against a new head coach and a new quarterback for an organization that, like you mentioned, I think we definitely have beat on the talent side of the ball. So, I love that opening game. I think, again, the Raiders are a team in the last couple of years have come in and kind of beat us a couple times when we were expected to beat them. But I think it's going to be a much different scenario this time around. I think it's a great opening game for them, and I expect them to win.
And also, Justin, Ashton Gentry's first game as a pro, which is a nice little side twist to make this game interesting. And we're going to get a test right away for that revamped front seven and that revamped run defense that the Patriots invested so heavily in free agency. And hey, Ashton Gentry, week one, this is a great test for that investment.
Totally. And you know what? Let's just say, in theory, Ashton Gentry is worth the hype, and he's an absolute world beater. He's a Saquon Barkley. He's a Derrick Henry. I mean, you get him at the best possible time, game one, when they're probably, still going to be introducing him. You know, he's probably still not going to maybe be at his best that we'll see this year. So it's a good time to get a guy like that.
Yeah, I think you could say that. And, I don't think the Raiders are explosive on offense. I think they're – they've got two good tight ends. Geno Smith, he's used to throwing a DK Metcalf, and Jackson Smith and Jigba. And I can't even think of one receiver on the Raiders right now, to be honest with you, at the wide receiver position. So, that works in the Pats' favor. I couldn't disagree with you more. I hate the fact that the Patriots are going to Miami in week two. Miami in September, in early October, for the New England Patriots has been a house of horrors for the better part of the last 50 years. They do not win in the early seasons, in early part of the season in South Florida. There, but for a few exceptions during the Brady era, they always struggle. I hate that we have to go down to South Florida and play a Miami team that gave Bill Belichick fits in his last few years here.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the reason why I like it, because if I had to pick, I would probably give them a loss in Miami, but this has been a team in a venue that have given them significant fits over the last couple of years. Right. I mean, dating back to Bill Belichick, if you are going to go into Miami, I think it's a benefit whether you win or lose, because I think if you win, you get the benefit of knocking that monkey off your back early and building some momentum, potentially starting 2-0, already dispelling some of the narratives that have plagued you in the past. And if you lose, it's not something that I think is going to be a deflating. I would hate the end of the season to go down to Miami, get your butts kicked and have that, kind of have that hangover where it's like, oh, we can never win in Miami. We always lose in Miami. You know what I mean? I would rather get that out of the way early if it was going to happen, to be honest.
I would much rather play them in November, because the heat is such a factor. And, it's hot and muggy up here, but it doesn't compare to the heat and humidity down there. And that just feels like that's as big an advantage for them as the cold in January is for the Patriots. To me, I'll take this game in November any day.
I get what where you're coming from. I totally do. I think either way, it'll be good to get that game out of the way, because to me, you circle that at Miami game every year as okay, this is the game that's going to give them a fit. I'd rather get it out of the way. I agree with you that I think later in the year they have a chance to do better, just because of the weather. But if they're going to lose that game, I'd rather them do it earlier in the season. Who knows? Maybe they go in there and win and we don't have to worry about it. But
the last time the Patriots played in Miami in September was the opening game for 2022.
And I was there.
And I would say that was really the beginning of the end, the fall from grace for this franchise, right? Where you look at 21, they had made the playoffs.
Yeah.
We all still had high hopes. They went into that Miami game in 22, epic disaster, totally got outclassed in the second half of that game. That was the start of the Patricia Judge era. Everything just went to absolute shit from that point on for this franchise, and hopefully it reverses this year. On paper, Justin, are the Patriots the better team against the Dolphins? Because I would say, yeah, probably.
I think overall, in totality, I mean, look, just starting from the top down, I'll take Vrabel over Mike McDaniel any day. I'll take, I think the Tua and Drake May, you know, I mean, I can understand maybe if somebody wants to go Tua, but at this point, I'm going to give Drake May the assumption that he's going to come in even better this year than last year. And if that's the case, I'll take Drake May. And I'll take the Patriots defense over this Dolphins defense.
Would you trade Drake May for Tua straight up?
Never. Never.
No, way, right?
No.
So Tua's done more. He's been super productive. He's proven it. May still has to prove it. But give me that high ceiling that May has any day, because I think we know what Tua Tagovailoa is. I think the Patriots actually are, on paper, believe it or not, the better team for the first time in a long time. Let's move to week three. Steelers coming to Gillette Stadium. Again, I'm down on the Steelers team. I said this, I think, 2 years ago. I got burned by it. I'm calling it again this year. This is the year that Steelers team comes in under 500. They have held it together with scotch tape and bubble gum for so many years. They're the Bruins of the NFL. You know, 9-8, 10-7, sneak into the playoffs. They don't have the manpower to really be a real Super Bowl contender because they don't have the quarterback. The quarterback is not out there. They're not finding him. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It is definitely not Mason Rudolph. This is a game the Patriots should, and I would say must, win if they're to be taken seriously in 25.
Yeah, and you know, this is probably going to be one of the better defenses that they face all year. But I expect this to be like a gritty, like 16-13 style game, you know, and I think the Patriots will hopefully come out on top. I think the Steelers, you know, whether they're going with a Mason Rudolph or whether they're going with, you know, a cobbled together Aaron Rodgers 3 games in, like, I think either way, I think it's going to be tough to put up points for both teams. But I do think that the Patriots have the advantage in this game. And I'm going to give them a win. I'm going to give them a gritty field goal win in this one.
One thing to remember is that look at how good Josh McDaniels always did against the Steelers. I guess we're going to find out how much that was Brady.
Yeah, yeah.
McDaniels' system. But it just felt like McDaniels always owned Mike Tomlin for so many years when he was here. So I that'll be interesting to see. Look, if I wasn't rooting for the Steelers to sign Aaron Rodgers before, now I'm rooting for them to do so, because this game becomes infinitely more interesting if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback versus Mason Rudolph. And I don't think this will make the Steelers that much better of a team.
Right.
But I think it will make them a way more interesting team to have Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. And for that reason alone, I'm now rooting for that signing to actually happen.
Yeah, I think the Aaron Rodgers experiment in Pittsburgh, barring a miracle, is going to crash and burn just like it did in New York. So, I mean,
completely agree.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about the Steelers, you know, having a good defense, having a good coach. Before they traded Pickens away, I would have said they had a high powered offense, but it's like they kind of depleted themselves a little bit in offense by getting rid of Pickens. And again, they just don't really have a serviceable quarterback in my mind. So I could totally see us having the edge in this one, and I do give them the edge here.
This should be a win.
It should be a win. I mean, it's they should at least be 2-1 at this point. Very conceivable to see them at 3-0, I think.
And let's go to week four. Carolina Panthers at Patriots. This is another one. I mean, I know that there's newfound respect for Bryce Young. I'm not totally sleeping on this Carolina team. I think they will be better than they've been. I think they are a rebuilding team. They may even be headed in the right direction. I'm sorry, if you're a playoff team, you need to beat teams like the Carolina Panthers at home. This should be another win for the Patriots. They should be 3-1 going into that game in Buffalo in week five.
They should be. Look, Carolina, like you said, I mean, they were a team that showed they could compete at times last year. But overall, I don't have a ton of confidence in that Carolina team. I think they should be better than last year. But I'm still not a believer in Bryce Young. I'm still not a believer in that entire organization. And I think the Patriots are a much more talented team on paper from top to bottom, coaching down, offense, defense. And it's at home, too. I think that should be another win for them.
Agreed. Week five at Buffalo. I mean, look, they played terrific, the Patriots, in Buffalo last year. That was a game that they really should have won, if not for Gerard Mayo screwing the pooch and Alex Van Pelt. You know, he only beat Buffalo Mayo when it was screwing his own franchise, right. you know, when he had the chance to go in there and pull off a big upset and save his job potentially, which is a story of his very brief coaching career. This is a tough one to say the Patriots are going to win, especially because it's a Sunday night. Hate that this game is a night game in Buffalo. That makes it even tougher. I feel like I got to chalk this one up as an L.
Yeah, I do too. Look, would it blow my mind if the Patriots won this game? No, but I think it's very tough to go in there and say that should be a win. I think the Bills are a better team. They're at home. They're going to have the advantage in this one. And I think the Bills do win. But, you know, and look, I know in the past we've said we're not ones for moral victories here, but I'd be pretty happy if the Patriots went into Buffalo and at least competed and showed that they could hold their own with a team that's considered to be, you know, the class of the AFC in the division.
I think this will be an opportunity to make a statement.
Right.
You know, in line with what you just said, right? Like, okay, moral victories, we're done with. Maybe you can get a moral victory. This is going to be a great chance for what I think will be a 3-1 Patriots team, or a Patriots team that at least gets off to a good start, to go in and announce their rearrival to the nation and to the division.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And look, again, at the very least, if you go into Buffalo in week five and you give the Bills a run for your money, and, you know, I think it puts the rest of the league on notice that, hey, you're a for real team. You're here to compete. And if they can steal that game, I mean, even more so, I think that'll punch a lot of people in the mouths if you can go in there and win that.
I think you're going to see this year, Justin, that whether they win this game or not, you're going to see the Mike Vrabel effect. This team isn't going to like cower away from the big moments like they may have the last few years. Like, they're going to get in the ring and they're going to deliver punches and take punches, and they will not be a pushover in these situations against tough teams and tough spots like they really kind of have been for the better part of the last four seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, I think the one thing, like you said, you're going to see from this team is, as far as an improvement goes, is you're going to see an improvement in their toughness. I think this is going to be a very tough, nitty gritty team that goes into every game like they got something to prove and like they can win any potential game. And I think that is the Vrabel effect. And so I expect them to go in there. I expect them to compete. I really don't see a single game in this schedule where I expect them to get blown out.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's see about that.
Well, I'm sure there's one or two at the end that I think
there's always one or two in there. Let's go to week six at New Orleans. Look, to me, the New Orleans Saints are absolute trash. I don't use that term lightly. I take every team seriously. It's the NFL. I don't know who's playing quarterback for that team. I don't know who will be playing quarterback for them in week six. Will it be Spencer Rattler? Will it be Tyler Ho? I think the Saints are clearly put their stake on the ground for the Arch Manning sweepstakes. They are playing for 2026.
Yeah.
They are rebuilding. You know, the Patriots should, this is a game the Patriots, again, have to win if they're going to be taken seriously.
I agree. Yeah. This should be, I mean, when you look at the schedule, I know it's away, but I mean, this to me is one of the easier games on their schedule. Like, this is game that I think the Patriots not only should win, but I think need to win. I think losing in New Orleans to this team would be a pretty bad sign. And I just don't see that happening. I mean, the Saints are just kind of completely decimated, I feel like, from top to bottom. And they are in kind of tank and rebuild mode. So yeah, I expect the Patriots to go in there and take care of business.
This is the kind of game for years where Belichick on the road would go in, they'd play good defense, they'd run the ball, and they'd take a very like perfunctory matter of fact win. Right. And you know what I mean? That's how they did it. So I mean, that's what good teams do, and that's what they should do in this game. And I would ditto that for week seven at the Titans. You know my feelings about Cam Ward, not a believer. Right. I don't think there's a lot of talent on that Tennessee team. This is a big revenge game for Vrabel. Tennessee, I still think, is going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL in 2025. I think they're still very much rebuilding. There is not a lot of skill position talent on that roster. It's a work in progress. The Patriots are way further along in their rebuild. They should win this game as well.
They should. They should. And that, you know, that gives us kind of the opportunity heading into week eight. This team could be 5-2, 6-1. And what a drastic,
very realistic.
And what a drastic change that would be compared to years past, where it just seems like the slow starts were inevitable.
I mean, we talked about the slow starts ad nauseum the last year. Certainly the last couple years of the Belichick era, they really struggled. And Belichick ran his camp like it was a summer camp, you know, which is so antithetical to what we thought about him. It will be interesting to see how Vrabel manages training camp with this team, you know, but yes, the opportunity is there for the fast start. Let's move to week eight, right? Again, Cleveland in Foxborough. You cannot lose to this Cleveland team in Foxborough. I bet you Shedeur Sanders will be starting at quarterback for the Browns by then, just a guess. Doesn't matter. Cleveland has too many wheels in motion. The Patriots, again, are way further along in their rebuild. This should be a win, and I have them now at 6-2, you know, at almost the halfway point.
Yeah, me too. I think that should be another good game for them. You know, the Browns, another team. I think the Browns will be a gritty team, right? The defense isn't bad. I like the coach, but I just don't see them having the pieces on offense. You know, we don't even know, again, what the quarterback situation is going to be. You know, they'll probably be dealing with a rookie quarterback at the, you know, if not an aging Joe Flacco, right? So, yeah, I think that should totally be a winnable game, especially at home. Yeah, I think they keep the momentum rolling.
It would be a big test for Will Campbell, our T-Rex arm tackle that we love.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah.
Going against Myles Garrett, this is going to be a big test for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? That's really going to be his first big test, I would say. Right. I mean, you're going to get you probably get TJ Watt in week 3, but like this
he's on the decline.
He's on the decline, and there's not really another standout pass rusher worth of note until you get to Cleveland.
Yeah. I mean, the Falcons drafted 2 first round defensive ends, but yes. You're extrapolating out to say that they're going to be anywhere to that level.
Correct. Right. Exactly. That's going to be the biggest test for Will Campbell, I think, all year at that point.
And I'm going to say again, you know, next week you're in week 9, Falcons at Patriots. Again, we don't really know what Michael Penix is. And I do think that Falcons team is pretty comparably along in their rebuild to where the Patriots are. But I think in Foxborough in November, coming north, the Falcons are hardly a world beater. Again, this is another game that the Patriots should win.
It is another game that the Patriots could win. I think that could be a good game. I mean, look, the Falcons are one of those teams, and I expect them to be the same way this year, but going back the last couple seasons, you never know who you're going to get when they walk out in the fields, right? Sometimes it looks like they can beat anybody, and sometimes it looks like they can lose to anybody. I know they got some talent on both sides of the ball there. But I think to me, this Falcons game is about as close to like a 50-50 toss up as I think you're going to find in the schedule. But I do think that the Patriots could pull this one off at home, and I'd give them a win there.
See, I would put it a little differently. I think this is a game that tilts the Patriots. This is a game that I would say the Patriots should win 60-65%. This is a very much rebuilding Atlanta team with a quarterback that is super unproven and far less experienced than Drake May even at this point. Penix certainly had his ups and downs coming in last year for Atlanta in the few games he did play. This is a game the Patriots should absolutely win at home against, I think, a very questionable Atlanta team. And, you know, it's funny, Justin, because we're going through this schedule, right? And when we did this last year, how many games did we – say that the Patriots we felt like were the clear favorite in? Because I remember us saying it was none.
I believe it was none. Yeah. I think we said every single game, even the ones that we gave them wins, we said we're toss-ups.
Toss-ups, right? Like we were even looking at Jacksonville, Tennessee, you know,
right,
and calling them toss-ups. And that obviously manifested as the reality of the season. But you know, you look at this schedule and where the franchise is, the Patriots right now, and the schedule they have. I mean, I feel like we've already identified seven games where they might not win all seven of those games, but they're the clear favorite, or they should win those games.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I agree. And it's nice to be able to say that. You know what I mean? It's nice to be able to say with a degree of confidence that we expect them to win games. And that's a combination of two things. It's a combination, like we said, the schedule's easier and this Patriots team is markedly improved.
Absolutely correct. All right, this is where it gets a little tricky, I think, in November or the next game at Buccaneers. That's a tough game.
It is a tough game.
Tampa Bay is a good team. They're on a run. They can score points. You're going down there. It's still going to be hot down there. You're going to be deconditioned to the heat if you're the Patriots. I call this one a loss. I have a hard time seeing the Patriots beat Tampa in Tampa.
I agree here. This was the next game actually after Buffalo that I had circled as a loss. And I agree. Yeah. It's not an unwinnable game by any means, but you know, I like that Bucs team. I think they play tough. I think they're talented. I like what they did in the draft, and I like Baker. I think it's going to be a tough game for them.
The next week, Jets at Patriots. That's another win. It should be another win. What I hate about this game is that it's on Thursday Night Football, because that's like a wild card. You know, it's like a horse race on a wet track. You don't know how teams are going to react to it. We see weird things happen on Thursday night. I consider this Jets team completely hapless. I think they too are in the quarterback sweepstakes for 2026. I think they're playing for 2026. They're not built to win this year. This is a team the Patriots should defeat, but it does make me nervous that it's a Thursday night game, because you just never quite know what you're going to get. Nonetheless, I think this is another win for the Pats, most likely. That brings them to 8-3 on my comp.
Yeah, I do too. And I think one of the benefits you might get, I know, you know, playing on that short week is always tough, but I think you at least get this game late enough in the season that hopefully at this point the Jets will kind of be defeated, you know, right, going through the motions, ready to go golfing type, you know, I'm hoping at this point the Jets are kind of just showing up and going through the motions at this point in the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, do you believe Justin Fields will make it through to this point in the year? Because he does have a pretty significant injury history as well.
So, yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I think honestly you have a 50-50 shot of Justin Fields even still being the quarterback by then.
I don't even know who the Jets backup is. Do you?
No. Yeah. No, I don't. Yeah.
All right. This next week, I'd say this is probably one of the three toughest games on the Patriots schedule. Mm. This is a game I would say I have a hard time seeing the Patriots win. I know they beat the Bengals last year in Cincinnati. We all know that was a lot about catching the Bengals off guard.
Yeah.
Combined with the fact that the Bengals are a notoriously slow starting team. This is the team you want to get in week one or
right,
week two,
right, right.
The Bengals. Going to Cincinnati in November, usually by this time in the season, Joe Burrow and the Bengals have it figured out and they're cooking on all cylinders, rolling on all cylinders. This is a tough one. I have a hard time seeing the Patriots win this game. To me, it would be a major upset.
It would be. Look, by this point in the season, Cincinnati is usually one of the hottest teams in football, especially if they're able to stay healthy. You know, I think this will arguably be, even maybe more so than Buffalo, I think this will be arguably the toughest test for this Patriots defense to this point in the season.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Absolutely. This might be the biggest test they face. I mean, well, you know, they got the Ravens also.
Right. But I think at least up to this point, though.
Up to this point.
Yeah, up to this point.
Huge,
right.
Huge test for them. So I'm calling that a loss. That for me brings them to 8-4.
Yeah.
I think you're the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Giants in Foxborough Monday night. I said last week on the podcast, this Giants team will be much improved. I believe that. However, I did look at the Giants schedule. They have a killer schedule for a team that was one of the worst teams in football last year. Somehow they really drew the short straw, because I think they have one of the hardest schedules in the NFL, which is crazy. All that said, again, you're either going to get Jackson Dart as a rookie, you're getting Jameis Winston, you're getting Russell Wilson. the Patriots should win this game on a Monday night in Foxborough.
Yeah, this Giants team, I agree with you that they could surprise some people. I think they'll be a little bit better and a little bit more competitive maybe than some people think, but I don't see them being good enough to come in a Foxborough and on prime time and beat the Patriots. I think it's another win for them. And I think, again, at this point, like you mentioned, like the Giants could be another team at this point in the season, especially given their schedule.
Right.
That could start folding. To be out of things. They could be folding at this point.
Well, here's my take on the Giants, because, you know, I said what I said last week about them, and then I saw the schedule when it came out yesterday. And the Giants are going to get probably another top 10 or top 5 pick this year because their schedule is that hard. And they're starting a rookie quarterback. But watch out for this Giants team in 2026. If they hit on on Abdul Carter, and we know they hit on Neighbors, if Jackson Dart is any kind of quarterback, and then they pull another top 5 or 10 pick this year because their schedule's killer and they're still rebuilding, 26 is probably the year you got to worry about the Giants. In this game, in this year, I think this Giants team will, like you said, have 1 foot out the door on their way to Aruba, and I like the Patriots at home.
Yep, exactly.
Now, next week, Bills at Patriots. Again, you know, this is crunch time for the Pats. They could be in a much win situation. This could be for the division, right? The Patriots could still have a shot at the division in this game if what we're seeing, you know, if we predict to happen actually happens. Again, I have a hard time calling the Pats to beat the Bills. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you know, one thing too, I think that's important to note is Patriots are going to be coming off a bye for that game. So they got
That's a great point. That's
They got the bye week after the Giants, which I think, you know, is perfect for them because they get that final rest before the push at the end of the season. You get to, you know, basically get a week off and then come back and you get Buffalo at home. I think it's a tough game. It's obviously tough to say that the Patriots should win that game, but they found ways to be competitive against Buffalo and split games at Buffalo the last couple, or, you know, in the past. And I think that this is arguably the best chance on paper that the Patriots have had to beat Buffalo in the last 4 or 5 years, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. And it will be, I mean, the Patriots are going to have, a lot to play for at this point as well. And that goes for something too. But if I'm predicting, I'm calling it a loss, but I agree with you. This is probably closest to 50-50 that we've gotten from this matchup in a while. So that brings me to 9-4. Patriots at Ravens 4 days before Christmas. That's a no-brainer. I mean, who knows? Long way from now, but right now you're asking me, I'm calling that one a loss.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, the Ravens have obviously, you know, in the past they've struggled with some injuries. But if that team is healthy, you know, it's going to be really tough to go into Baltimore and get a win. So, yeah, I agree. That's probably a loss too.
And the Ravens, look, their regular season is
money. Heroes.
The problem is always the postseason. So these are the games the Ravens usually win in December. It's January where they have their problems. So I don't see the Pats having much of a chance in that one. That brings us to Pats at Jets. 3 days after Christmas. Again, this Jets team is hapless. I'll take the Patriots even on the road, and will probably be a must win for them coming off what I think would likely be 2 straight losses to secure a playoff spot. So I'll take the Pats in week 17 against the Jets.
Yeah, me too. And that brings us to 10 wins, right?
Yep.
10 and 6.
Yep. And give me, since we're there, give me the win the following week against the Dolphins in Foxborough in January. These are the kind of games that weenie Mike McDaniel has been losing for his entire time in Miami. They don't win in cold weather. They don't win in the postseason. They don't win against good teams. The Patriots will beat the Dolphins in that last game unless it ends up being like, you know, a preseason type situation where things are already clinched or something like that. But these are the games the Dolphins always lose. So I do like the Patriots in that game. So that actually gets me to 11-6.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is, depending on how Miami's doing, you know, that could very much, you know, be a win and you're in situation for both teams. So that could be a really interesting game to have marked in the calendar, but, you know, I do think to your point, right, the Dolphins, not a good cold weather team, not a good big game team. And I'll give the Patriots the edge in that one too.
I mean, as bad as the Pats are down there in September, they're just as bad up here. They've always have a hard time coming up to Foxborough winning in December and January.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that puts us at 11-6.
So take a step back, 11-6. You always lose a couple games you don't think you're going to lose, and you usually win a game or two you don't think you're going to win. You know, what I would say to you, the over-under is 8.5 for this team. I like the over. I like the under last year, in case anyone thinks I'm a total homer. Go back and listen to our episode. The over-under was 4.5 last year. We both said under, and it was right. I like the over at 8.5 this year. What I'm looking at, Justin, is where are the three losses that could make this 11-win season that we just called an 8-win season? And I think for me, it's really hard to see, you know, them blowing three of these games. You know, like, could they blow it to the Steelers? Yeah. Could they lose at Tennessee? Could they lose? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's like 9 games on the schedule that just look like they should be easy wins. Are they going to lose 3 or 4 of them to make them a 7-win team? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. And by the same token, you know, like you mentioned, I wouldn't be shocked to see them eke out a win or two that we have marked down right now as losses. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think this is going to be a team that can compete. Like, I mean, look, you talk about the over and under being 8.5. We got them at 11. I mean, even if things balanced out a little bit, that still is, like, I feel like worst case scenario, a 9-10 win team.
Yeah, exactly. So I got the losses right now at Dolphins, at Bills, at Bengals, at Ravens, Bills in Foxborough, and at Buccaneers. And, you know, give me one more upset somewhere in there. You know, you lose to the Panthers, you lose to the Steelers.
Yeah.
You know, take one of those off the board. You're still a 10-7, and that should be good enough for a playoff berth.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm very bullish in this team this year. I mean, we've been saying it, you know, even dating back, I think, you know, to the beginning of the offseason that, you know, we expected this team to be better than their potential over under. We expected them to be much better than last year. You know, I've already bet them to be a playoff team in 2025. It's like all signs point to this team, you know, heading in the right direction and hopefully getting back to where we're used to seeing them, which is playing meaningful football at the end of the year and having a chance to compete in the playoffs.
And unless it's a total catastrophe, this should be like a football season, a legitimate football season where they're playing competitive football into December. You know, last year they were done in mid-October, if not sooner, frankly. And ditto 2023, they were done before Halloween. The one thing I think we will see this year is that they're going to be competitive to the end of the season.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just mathematically, I can't see them being in a situation where they're like eliminated before maybe the last week of the season. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way.
Take something catastrophic.
Exactly. It would take something catastrophic for this team to not be playing meaningful football in December, whether they make the playoffs or not. So I do look forward to it in that sense that, you know, we're going to get a full season of entertainment out of these guys.
What's your road trip? Are you doing a Patriots road trip this year? What's the road trip on the schedule? I can throw a couple at you. I'm looking at.
Yeah, so that actually just got brought up in the group chat the other day. I think, you know, we took a few years off, but I think we're going to try to reinstitute that.
Great ones this year.
There's some good ones. I think Tampa was one of the ones that I think we threw out at the top of the list. You know, Tampa would be a great one. I also don't think this would be a bad year to do like a Buffalo trip or something like that, you know, maybe.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was looking at that Buffalo game, because this is the last year for Rich State, whatever they call it, Highmark Stadium.
Yep.
Next year they're moving into a new stadium. So I really was thinking I might try and do that, but it's really hard to pull it off on a Sunday night. That makes it hard to travel.
It does. It does. And, you know, at this point it's like, do you really want to go, you know, take the drive? I know the benefit of driving is always, you know, but you're not going to go see them play the Jets. You're not going to go.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, in keep in mind too, in the past, we've gone to Miami, we've gone to Tennessee and we've gone to New Orleans, all three away, which are away games, right? So it's like, if we're looking to switch it up, it's probably the year that we do Tampa, I would guess.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm looking at that one. I'm also looking at the Saints on Columbus Day because I haven't been to New Orleans yet. Mm. And what I would say, one thing you have to consider is the fact that the Patriots only play at the Saints like once every 8 years, more or less. So you don't get a lot of opportunities to visit NFC stadiums. So, and it's Columbus Day weekend as well on October 12th. So to me, that would be, I think, a great pick. Titans, October 19th, a great pick. Buccaneers, you nailed it. I like that one. The Ravens is an easy one. I've been to Baltimore before, but that's an easy train ride or drive or flight, obviously. That's a great stadium, by the way, M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. So this year, I think the Patriots don't travel very many miles. Like if look, they only travel like 13,000 miles, which is like, I think, fourth lowest in the league.
Yep.
But that makes for a lot of good opportunities for road trips.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is, and you know what? This is going to be a team that I think you're excited to go travel and see, because who wants to go travel and watch, you know, their team get their behinds kicked, right? So it's like, this is going to be a year where like you can commit to traveling to some of these games and you should be able to expect good football.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. That's a great point too. Totally. You don't want to plan a road trip for like December or late November to watch a 3-9 team get their ass handed to them.
Exactly. I mean, it was to the point 2 years ago, we didn't do a trip, but 2 years ago we had discussed doing a football trip to a non-Patriots game just because we were like, it's not even worth it to go travel for a Patriots game.
I was actually looking at that last year as well, and ultimately it didn't work out, but I totally agree with that. I mean, in fact, I kind of had it in my back pocket that if the Lions hosted the NFC Championship game, I was kind of preliminary looking at like flights and stuff to go to Detroit because I thought that would be historic and epic. But I went into last year and, you know, you knew my feelings on the team. I thought they were going to suck, and they certainly did.
Right.
And I'm like, why am I going to plan a road trip to go see a team that I'm pretty sure is going to have like, you know, one or two or three wins the whole season.
Right.
And you're spending all that money and time. It's better to go to another NFL stadium.
Exactly. But yeah, no, this year we're back on track. There's plenty of games you could be excited about. And plus, you know, November, it's when it starts getting cool, you know, the cold weather starts to hit a little bit. Could be a great opportunity to get down to Tampa, get some sun, get a little break, a little reprieve.
Absolutely. Great way to start off the kind of colder season, you know, coming here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Very quickly, non-football topic of the week, Justin, Celtics. Let's talk about the Celtics. That was the most enjoyable Celtics game last night, game five against the Knicks. That was the most enjoyable game that I feel like I've watched this year. And I don't know what it was. It just felt like, was it the Patrick Ewing effect? You know, the best player gets hurt and everyone else steps up their game. It was just so fun to watch the way they played last night.
Absolutely. Well, look, this Celtics team, if there was one team that was built to absorb the loss of their superstar, it's this Celtics team. I mean, not only are they so deep talent-wise, but they're such a good fundamental basketball team that when somebody like Tatum goes down, there's so many other guys. I mean, like, you look at the last couple games, you know, against the Knicks, and even, you know, even in their first series, this team was running six or seven guys deep. It was not a heavy rotation, right? Guys like Cornette really weren't getting any run. Hauser wasn't really getting any run. Right. Torrey Craig wasn't really getting any run. Pritchard was used sparingly. And now all these guys are playing big time minutes and contributing. And that's what made this team so good in the regular season, was the fact that they were so deep and they had so many guys who could come in and play meaningful minutes. And we're seeing it now without Tatum.
You know, it just felt like, look, they've had all this success the last 2 years. They play a style of basketball that's very different than I think what we grew up with, you know, the basketball of the 90s, in the 2000s, in the 2010s even. And it's effective and they've been winning, but I don't know if it was necessarily the most enjoyable to watch the way they play the game. And losing Tatum forced them to change the way that they play. And last night felt like I don't know, a 2008 Celtics kind of win, you know, like a Garnett and Pierce kind of game where it was more of a team effort, where it wasn't just huck up threes, where guys had to do different things to win. And I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Me too. And I love the fact that this team has guys that not only can step up and play meaningful minutes, but can kind of fill in that superstar role and play like superstar quality basketball. I mean, like Jaylen Brown and Derek White, I mean, they played just as good the other night as you could ask a superstar to play, you know? So this is a team, like, they got guys that are capable of stepping up and being the alpha on the team, being top dog and playing and playing big minutes. And they also have a bunch of guys who can step in and just contribute. So I love this team for that.
Charles Barkley and Shaq had a huge debate after the game last night. I think it was those two, correct me if I'm wrong, one of them was definitely Shaq, about whether Jaylen Brown was still the best player on the court for both teams, even after Tatum's gone. And I think you could definitely make that argument. Now, I know Jalen Brunson may be the better scorer,
right?
But Jaylen Brown might be still the best player. So I'm not counting the Celtics. I said this before last night, and I'm clearly going to say it again. I'm not counting the Celtics out of this series at all, especially if they somehow can win tomorrow night. I feel like they will win if they can get it back to the Garden for a game seven. And hey, I respect that Indiana team. They're a great team, but I don't think they're a better team than the Celtics, even without Tatum.
I would agree with that. I think it's going to be very tough for whoever comes out of the Eastern Conference to beat, I think the winner of this Thunder,
Thunder is a wagon.
Right. The Thunder's a wagon, and whoever, I know the Timberwolves are waiting in the Western Conference Finals, but I think whoever wins the Nuggets in Oklahoma City, series is going to move on and probably win the championship. But that being said, I still think the Celtics are very much alive in the series. I do have them probably beating Indiana if they move on. And then I think they're still a competitive team in the finals, even if I don't expect them to win.
I'll say this. I think this Celtics team, as currently constituted, would have a very realistic chance of beating both Denver or certainly Minnesota without Tatum, even if it got to that point. I mean, Oklahoma City, that would be an upset.
Yes, I agreed. Oklahoma City, I think, is the favorites right now to win it all. But this Celtics team, again, like, I bet them to win the other night. I thought it was going to be, I thought it was going to be a good showing for them. It was. I think if they're able to go into MSG, like, I think a game seven in Boston, I think this team takes it. The real test for them is going to be, can they go back to Madison Square Garden? And can they keep that momentum going and give them an opportunity to come back to Boston for a game seven? And if they do that, the Knicks are going to be crapping their pants.
Do you agree with me, though, that even without Tatum, the Celtics are still probably a better team than the Knicks?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And I think
it's close. It's a lot closer.
It is.
But I still think they're a better team.
They are. I think they're not only a better team, I think they're a deeper team than the Knicks. The Knicks are a very, a top heavy team. I mean, they're running like a 6-7 man rotation because they can't go into their bench to get big minutes in big performances. The Celtics can do that. And so when you're able to platoon these guys off the bench, keep fresh legs in there, keep the intensity and the pressure on all game, I think that wears down on teams.
And one thing about this series, Celtics Knicks too, Justin, is that, and I think you'll agree with this, game four and game five, because the Celtics won game three, right?
Yes.
And then, so game four, the Knicks were absolutely unconscious from the field in game two as well. So like the Knicks have been hitting everything that they put up at times in this series. And I'm like, at what point do they go cold? And you kind of saw it a little last night. They started to go cold. And it's almost like, hey, things are going to even out here a little. Like Brunson's good. You know, the Knicks are good. They're not as good as they've played. And I feel like at some point it's going to even out a little. And hopefully the Celtics can capitalize on that.
Agreed. I think, and look, let's not discount too. I mean, The Knicks, at this point, they have their backs against the wall because they just got blown out by a team that lost their superstar. I mean, heading into this series, they hadn't beat the Celtics all season. All the pressure is on them right now. Like, they have everything to lose.
All of the pressure. Yeah,
exactly. The Celtics really have zero pressure on them right now.
The Celtics are playing with house money right now. Yeah. The Knicks have all the pressure on them. They have all the pressure on them for game six. If they somehow lose game six, that's going to even somehow double in game seven.
Yep.
So you're right. And that's the kind of thing that can get inside a team's head. So I don't think this series is over. I don't think this season is over for the Celtics.
Me neither. I think we have some meaningful games ahead of us with the Celtics, hopefully.
No doubt. All right, man. Well, look, we said it wasn't going to be an hour and then ended up being an hour, but that's cool. We hope y'all enjoyed it. And enjoyed this episode of the Dr. Football Ultimate Patriots Pod, the annual schedule release episode. Justin, the template is out.
It is.
We are getting closer to actual football.
Yeah, it's not until this point in the offseason, I think, that the upcoming season starts to feel real. You know, you get the draft, you get some free agency, you get some rookie camp stuff going. But until you can actually map out what's going on the next season with that schedule, it doesn't really fully feel real. Now it kind of feels real. You can sink your teeth into something.
And it feels real. Yep. Well, listen, I want to thank everyone that listened and hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll catch you next week. We're going to start doing some preview stuff over the next month or so. You're going to Italy. So we're not going to record for a couple of weeks. You're going for what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks. Yep.
That's amazing. Enjoy yourself. He's leaving next week. He will be back in 2.5-3 weeks. We'll record then. When you get back, we'll do something previewing these divisions, I think will be the next thing. And that's going to be just, hey, off-season stuff, right?
Yeah.
Passing the time, thinking about the next year that's upcoming. By the time we get to that point, Justin, it'll be mid-June and we're a month away from training camps open up. And that's when the real stories start and the season really begins. So we're getting there. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week and enjoy the Celtics. Enjoy the weather. Catch you next time on the Dr. Football Ultimate Patriots Pod.